Chapter 22. The screeching was what reached my consciousness first when I surfaced, and at first I thought I was somehow still asleep and suffering through a nightmare in which Crackers, the obnoxious pest, was involved. A second later, however, Crackers himself rounded the broad tree trunk Ozzy and I had made camp behind, and he was screeching like someone was trying to skin him alive. My eyes snapped open fully then, and my travel companion and I were on our feet seconds before Rylan crashed through our camp.
"Run!"
he yelled, and flew past the Slothman and me like the devil himself was on his heels. Ozzy blinked at me in utter confusion as the frantic kid blurred by us, but we didn't even get to take a breath to try and sort ourselves before my worst fear rounded the tree by digging its 8-clawed legs into the bark of the trunk before it landed down in front of us.
Hiss!
The giant fucking huge-ass spider, the same gray color and pattern as the Akoba tree, hissed at us through a mandible packed with a whole mess of needle-like teeth.
Fuck!
I said, and I barely had the mind to grab my pack as Ozzy and I both took off in the direction Rylan and Crackers did. The spiny beast did not like that, and I briefly wondered if the dozen or so eyes on its face aided it in its depth perception or made it worse. I hoped worse, but my hopes were dashed when the creature started spitting wads of stringy saliva at us from behind.
Ah!
Rylan's voice sounded ahead of me through the mist, and I aimed my trajectory in that direction.
Come on!
I hauled him back to his feet with a rough hand on the back of his tunic and urged us forward even harder.
Screech!
Crackers said, and the noise seemed to piss off the spiny beast, judging by the way the fine hairs all over its body trembled.
Hiss!
One of the beast's legs swiped at the orangish-yellow pest flapping around its face.
Crackers!
Rylan ordered the screecher to heal, and the three of us were up and running again with Ozzy in the lead. The Slothman worked as an awesome bulldozer when it came to things like boulders and fallen branches in our way, especially since Rylan was starting to lag and stumble over his feet.
"Ry, you've got to pick up your feet!"
I barked, when I snatched the back of his tunic yet again and prevented him from face-planting and becoming spiny beast chow.
"Ugh!"
he wheezed harshly, and I briefly considered ditching my pack so I could carry him on my back again. But he dug down deep and kept stride with Ozzy and me.
"Roar!"
Ozzy roared. And then, in an impressive feat of continuous motion, the large sloth man scooped up a basketball-sized rock, turned around, and launched the projectile directly at the monster behind us by using his own inertia. The rock smashed into our pursuer and fractured into about 1,000 shards similar to the makeshift dagger I was honing just the night before.
Eek!
The spiny beast squealed, and it was waylaid just enough to give us a bit of much-needed distance away from it.
Ahead!
Ozzy pointed one of his long claws in front of us, and in that moment the mist became sheer enough to see the edge of the Akoba forest and where the Tatabo plain started. I knew from his meaning somehow that if we could just make it to the forest's edge, the spiny beast wouldn't follow us, but it was still half a football field away, and Rylan picked the perfect moment to have a coughing fit.
"Rylan!"
I yelled when he fell behind me and doubled over as the curse racked his young lungs and left drops of blood on his shirt and pants.
"Stand up, come on!"
"Can't!"
he forced out before he dissolved into coughing again.
"Screech! Screech!"
Crackers said and flapped around Rylan.
"I'm aware, Crackers,"
I said, and I hauled Rylan into my arms and started jogging again.
Hiss!
The beast had caught up, and to all of our dismay, the commotion we were all making caused him to bring along a few friends. Super.
Roar!
Ozzy stopped again to lob more of those exploding shrapnel rocks, but it was three of them against us. The Slothman could also only move so fast. And on his next throw, one of the beasts shot out 2 wads of webbing to trap both his hands. Ozzy roared and immediately started gnawing on the sticky strings. But I could tell it was going to take him a while, so I put Rylan back down next to a rotted log and pulled out the rough dagger I'd made. but my hope at doing any real damage with the thing was looking grim.
Hiss!
One of the spiny beasts snapped at me with its razor-sharp teeth as I tried to divert the giant spiders away from my son, who was still coughing deep racking spasms that had him clutching himself around the torso.
Hey!
I yelled and kicked a clod of dirt up to keep their attention on me, which was supremely bad because, again, there were three of the huge spiders now pissed at me for being even more loud.
Come at me!
Hiss!
The one in the center lunged for me, but I danced away and slashed at one of its smaller pincers that tried to snip my hand off. My adrenaline was pumping hard, and I didn't know if the reason was due to my inbred phobia of the eight-legged freaks, but whatever the case, my time trance was already champing at the bit for me to release it. Tick. The beast spat out another web ball, but the velocity slowed almost all the way down to a complete stop. I felt a tenuous tremble like the way a soap bubble shivers right before it pops, and I pulled the reins on my power so it was right on the edge. If it evolved into a full-fledged time stop, I knew I would only have a limited amount of time to hold it, and who knew if I was all charged up after being through the ringer. It was safer to rely on my more practiced time trance, so I held that soap bubble on the edge of breaking for as long as I could. Tick. I dodged smoothly out of the path of the web wad, and then dove to the right so I could take out the beast heading straight for Ozzy. Tick. One of the beast's back legs kicked a huge branch directly into my path, and I jumped cleanly over it before it even finished leaving the ground. Tick. Using the momentum I had, I ran up the bark-like back of the creature and then plunged the makeshift stone dagger deep into the top of its skull. Tick. I didn't spare a second glance for the wretched thing. Back vaulted off its head and landed in a somersault. The moment I jumped back up to my feet, I was off in the direction of the second spiny beast charging toward me, even though the beast behind me was still in the middle of its death throes. Then several things happened all at once. In typical spider fashion, the first creature I'd maimed flipped over on its back so it could finish dying upside down with its spiny legs curling up in the air. But because spiders are such fucking drama queens, the spiny beast was still wailing its head off, and since I was directly in its path, the time-slowed Doppler effect of its blood-curdling hissing blasted me like a sonic wave. It was a perfect imitation of Freddy Krueger going to town in a chalkboard factory combined with the sound of a train derailing in slow motion, and I had no choice but to drop to one knee and cover my ears.
Ah!
I couldn't help but shake my head like a dog as the unpleasant noise burrowed itself through my hands and into my eardrums. It was torture, for sure, but compared to the freak show that was intent on charging me a moment ago, a little ear pain was nothing. Then the second spider creature seemed to stumble into the sonic wave's trajectory, and the spiny beast stopped dead as if all eight legs were suddenly glued to the ground. Its bark-like exoskeleton began to blister and boil while its body began to tremble and swell. And right at the height of this grotesque expansion, the time trance slipped from my grasp.
Snap! Boom!
The recoil from holding that balance of power for so long, combined with the sudden vaporization of the spiny beast, knocked me clean off my feet, along with everyone else in the clearing. Fuck! Had my time trance turned sound into a bomb?
Shit!
I groaned and pushed myself up on my hands and knees as quickly as I could. But my hearing and my balance were currently giving me issues.
Dead?
Something muffled came from my left.
Dead!
I tried to focus on Ryland's pale face, but I had to fight to keep my vision from doubling, and I noticed his lips were starting to turn blue. The OG and last of the beast pack finally shook off its shock, and it was now looking around for someone to blame for its outrage.
Fuck,
I tried to curse, but before I could finish, another one of those shrapnel rocks exploded in the spider's face.
Yeah!
I snapped my head over my shoulder expecting to see Ozzy, and I received a shock when a vaguely familiar indigo blur dashed past me and vaulted itself at the spiny beast. Then the lacuna woman from my dream stabbed two rock daggers that were way cooler than mine into two of the beast's eyes. It hissed, and it was momentarily distracted from me as it attempted to buck and fling the furious siren girl off its face. This allowed me to stagger to my feet so I could head in Ryland's direction, and I saw he'd crash down to his knees with two hands clutching his chest.
Rylan!
I called.
Yeah!
The navy-haired woman cried out, but this only seemed to piss the noise-sensitive creature off even more, and it threw her off like a raging bull. Rylan coughed a deep, chesty cough that sounded wet and tight at the same time. It rattled out of him like the sound of a congested engine idling and on its last legs. The sound was just as grating to the beast as the siren woman's ear-piercing cry, and it set its sights on him.
No!
Ozzy bellowed loudly enough to startle the beast so I could get a head start, and I sprinted straight for Rylan just as the kid pitched forward onto his face.
Ry!
I skidded next to him and turned him on his back.
I...
He hacked again, and flecks of blood dotted his bluish lips.
Oh, you're so grounded you don't even think of dying, I said, as I hauled him back up into my arms and looked around for an exit.
Sorry,
he croaked. And then his head lolled back as his eyes fluttered shut.
Hiss!
The spiny beast was now coming at me slowly but surely with its snapping, pincered forearms. And I backed up, but my booted heel caught on something, and I landed hard on my ass with Rai still unconscious in my arms. Suddenly the lacuna woman was there helping me up to my feet again with her surprisingly strong hands around one of my biceps. It wasn't the most graceful maneuver, and I nearly dropped Rylan in the process. The motion ended up jarring something loose from my son's trouser pocket, and with a crystal ding, the small serving bell Rylan had been holding onto for me bounced off the ground with another sharp ring before it came to a rest.
Eek!
The spiny beast recoiled from the bell like a circus elephant from a harmless mouse. My eyebrows arched, and I exchanged a glance with the woman who had a stunned look on her jade-colored face that probably matched mine. Without taking too much time to dwell on it, the woman scooped up the bell Vela had insisted I carry and rang it once by the handle.
Ding!
The spider wailed a little softer, like it was being mortally wounded by the innocent bell with the high pitch. The siren woman matched the bell's pitch in her clear, piercing soprano, and that was enough to make the beast actually turn tail and run away. I almost couldn't believe my eyes, and I stared at the clouds of dust the creature kicked up in its haste to get away. Then Rylan moaned and snapped me out of my daze.
Boy?
Ozzy asked as he lumbered over, and he was in the midst of picking off the rest of the sticky strings from the web wad.
Don't!
Rylan gasped and coughed up some more foamy blood.
Ry,
I said, and quickly set him back down on his side in case he was going to vomit.
Small one.
The woman came closer, but I shot her a fierce glare that made her stop in her tracks.
What did you do to him?
I demanded. She blinked her maroon-colored eyes in confusion, and a frown creased her delicate eyebrows.
What do?
She asked, and knelt down a few feet away.
The curse!
I spat, as Rylan huffed and wheezed while I rubbed his back. More sputum came out of his mouth as he coughed weakly.
It's why you brought us, to help you. So here we are, damn it. Now please tell me what I need to do to repay my debt.
The woman vocalized sadly and shuffled closer on her knees.
Rylan.
Yeah,
I croaked, as I watched some of the icy exterior melt from her frigid frame. And she slowly approached us with her hand outstretched and her maroon eyes shimmering with tears. Seeing her obvious remorse was the only reason I let her stroke her fingers through Rylan's hair.
Not mean to happen,
she said and met my eyes. Hers were dark with sorrow, and her tears flowed freely down her shiny cheeks.
Not mean to hurt.
Then help him, I demanded through gritted teeth. She nodded and snatched her hand back so she could wipe away the moisture from her face.
Come,
she said, and leapt to her feet. She gestured with her hands that we should follow her, and I pulled Rylan back up and hurried after her as fast as I could with Ozzy at my side. The rest of the way out of the forest was spent in anxious silence, and the thumping of my son's head against my chest reminded me of how limp and weak he felt, almost as if he'd lost 10 pounds overnight. Even Crackers was worryingly quiet and docile as he glided overhead. And when we finally broke through the tree line, I couldn't even appreciate the vast lilac plains of this new world. I was a little preoccupied with the armload of trouble I currently didn't know how exactly to handle, on top of, oh yeah, everything else under the sun. A structure became visible as we made it over a low rise, and a manor in dire need of repairs came into view. The roof was in a sorry state of pitch and missing shingles, and when we got closer, I could see how the entire building was situated on the edge of a large lake that looked like it used to be a crater. Several large and weathered beams were haphazardly anchored into the lakeshore below in order to prop up and support the manor. So I guessed over time, as the cliffs eroded, the foundation under the structure became unstable, and instead of rebuilding somewhere else, more and more beams kept being added. "That's where you live?" I couldn't help but blurt out, as she led us to a path that clearly led to the sorry cesspool.
"Come,"
she said, like nothing was out of the ordinary. But she stopped briefly so she could pick a sharp pebble from the sole of her bare foot. It was then I noticed not only was the house in a sorry state, but so was this woman who claimed to live here. Unlike her goddess-like appearance when I first saw her in the Dark Realm, in the real world, the Lacuna child's indigo hair was disheveled, and she wore tattered rags that were no more than a scrap of brown cloth wrapped around her upper half like a tube top and a loincloth made of the same worn material. She wore no shoes, and when the wind moved her hair off of her neck, I could see several knobs of her vertebrae through her skin. She really did need help. Had needed help for quite a while, it seemed.
"I'll wait,"
Ozzy gestured to the area right next to the rickety wooden stairs leading up to the crooked house's entrance. "Probably a good idea, Bubba," I said, as I hefted Rylan higher up in my arms. I was afraid if we even looked at the stairs wrong, they might collapse.
"Inside,"
the woman said down at me from where she was already halfway up to the house, and I hurried to follow her as best as I could while holding a lanky teenager. When I managed to get us both into the cramped and cluttered house, I followed her to the small galley where she gestured to a small pallet bed set up next to the hearth. It was clear this was where she spent most, if not all, of her time. Like some poor scullery maid. "Thank you," I grunted, when she helped me tuck probably her only blanket around my son. "For letting us stay."
"He come, and you come,"
she said, as she searched through the small kitchen space, and then she came back with a clean cloth she dampened and placed on the kid's brow. I dragged a small stool closer to the small cot and flipped the cloth when it was warmed up by his skin. He was as still and as silent as a grave, and I put my head in my hands as I listened to his labored gasps.
"Small one,"
the woman hummed, and then shook out a pretty green blanket she was obviously trying to keep in one piece. So the gesture of her extending it to Rylan wasn't lost on me. "Why do you call him Small One?" I asked, as she tucked the edges under the pale teen's shivering form.
"We three,"
she began and held up three fingers to demonstrate.
"Rylan, Moz, Nova, all."
"You know Moz as well?" I asked, and then cleared my throat. "And your name is Nova?"
"Nova,"
she confirmed and pointed at herself. Then she pointed at me.
"Ethix, Briarwood."
"Close," I said with a weary smile. "Brightwood." I looked deep into her eyes for a moment before she ducked and pulled a sheaf of papers out from under the cot.
"Rylan,"
she said again and handed me the papers. What are these? I asked, as I skimmed the ones on top, and my face fell when I read about Rylan and his father, Kavo. There were also some brief sketches of Rylan in his canterfly form. But before I could read more, Nova put more papers on top that briefly talked about Maz and her in relation to Krevalda, Kavo's brother. You and Maz are related as half-sisters? I asked, as I continued to skim the pages. Eventually, there was some talk about all three of these Dark Realm children and their unique gifts. But the papers kept coming as Nova kept pulling them out from under her bed. The new stack had a lot of back and forth with Krev and a guy who kept calling himself Yates. But it wasn't until I saw an official seal with the title of Overseer next to Yates that I knew what the man's role was. Nova then pointed at a letter from Yates and then jabbed that same finger down at a letter from Krev. Yes, they were talking, I said with a little frustration. So? Nova shook her head with an equal amount of agitation.
Yates. Krev,
she said. Yates and Krev, I repeated.
No,
she tried again.
Yates. Krev.
She is trying to tell you Yates is Krev, a cold voice said from the doorway to the scullery, and caused both Nova and I to jump to our feet. The man standing there was balding and mild-mannered looking on the outside, but something about his muddy brown eyes lacked any signs of warmth or light. His skin rippled slightly, almost like a snake skin would undulate from time to time as it digested a large meal. That was an apt description of the man standing in front of me now with the same seal of the Overseer pinned to his cloak. The way his skin sagged around the cheeks when he attempted a flat smile looked as if someone was just wearing the man as a bodysuit.
That's impossible, I said to the stranger. Krevalda is dead.
Are you absolutely sure about that? He said, as he slowly walked closer. Then it clicked. Krevalda was a known shapeshifter.
A shapeshifter who apparently faked his death, and was now masquerading as the Overseer.
You're Krev, and you've been stealing duelist identities for Mercedes only knows how long, I surmised. Oh, good for you,
the man with Yates's face smiled a twisted smile that made his stolen face wrinkle and bunch. Then, like a rubber band snapping back into place, his smile dropped, and he pulled out what looked like a double-barrel crossbow.
Now leave the brat on the bed, and we can all finish this little chat outside.